Hi again, this is Pastor Tony Alamo. I've been reading through the Bible here, but the Lord has sidetracked me for a while too. It's desirous of the Spirit of the Lord for me to have the literature that I've written read over radio. And there's so many people that can't read, or the people that are blind, or people that haven't enough time to read. They drive on the highways, commuting back and forth to work. I know out in Los Angeles, so many of them commute for 3-4 hours a day, sometimes 6 hours a day, and this is a perfect opportunity for them to listen to these tapes. A lot of people become weary at reading, and they'd rather listen than read. And so this is why the Lord is having me have these my literature read. Now, I used to be able to read very fast. As a matter of fact, I was capable of being a newscaster, a radio announcer, but my eyes have gotten very bad. I have had junior glaucoma. I got it when I was 15 years old. And now I'm termed legally blind. Even though I can see to get around, I just have a hard time reading quickly. And so the government has a certain standard of what they call legally blind, where you're able to, if you wanted to, you could collect a blind pension. I don't collect blind pension, but I could if I wanted to, because I'm legally blind. So I have people on my staff read the literature the Lord has given me. I have a reading machine where I can read the literature much faster. It blows the words up about 100 times. But then we have, let's see, 2 letters, is it? 3 letters today. And before we get into mass suicide part 3, let's go to the throne and ask the Lord to anoint this tape, this service. Father, we pray that you anoint this tape, this message, outwardly anoint it. Lord, set the church on higher ground, those that are born again of the Spirit, those that are actually getting weaker because they haven't learned the fullness of your word. They haven't matured, and I pray, Lord, that you'll mature them, strengthen them, raise them on higher ground, and that you'll open up the spiritual eyes of both the church and the unsaved out in the world to where they'll be able to receive this advanced, more deeper knowledge of the Word of God, which is you, Father. Lord, we ask that millions of souls, even billions, will be saved through these messages, and we know that you have used us in a great and mighty way that way. This is your service, Lord, not mine. Take it over, take my tongue over, use it, anoint it in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you bind Satan on the face of this earth. Bind him. We bind you, Satan, on earth. And Father, we ask that you bind him in heaven. Those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, that are in the body of Christ, heal them, Lord. You already healed them. Let them receive the healing that you provided for them many years ago, around 2,000 years ago. And Lord, those that have demons, cast the demons out. By hearing the word, receiving the word, they will receive salvation, the Holy Spirit, and thus the evil one will be cast out of them. Lord, destroy the horrible learning that people have been taught. Destroy it, bring it to an end, and this happens by your word being preached. Lord, we ask that you come down and stop the wars, show the people of this world that it's not Mother Nature that's sending these plagues. Show the world, Father God, that these are not natural disasters that are happening on earth today, that these are supernatural disasters coming from your throne. You promised that you would send them. You promised that they would be coming from you. And Lord, the people are so far gone, they're so blind that they can't see it. And they keep sinning and keep offending you with the different things that they say and do. Lord, let their eyes open, their spiritual eyes and their spiritual ears open, so that they can see and hear the truth of the things that are going on in this world today and the things that are soon to come. The things, these different plagues that have been hitting the earth recently, are nothing in comparison to what is soon to come. Father, we ask that you do all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's see. What's the first letter from?
From Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
All right.
Dear brother in Christ, Christian greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am a 56-year-old man, born and brought up in a very strong Muslim family. It is the most forbidden thing to see a member of the family with a Christian. But it was one day I saw a piece of your literature on the ground, and I picked it up and started reading it. I was deeply touched by what I read in it. So with time, I began to see the true light of God's creation. However, it wasn't an easy thing seeing a father in the family becoming a Christian. With much prayer, I was able to convert all my family. Brother, please, I am highly in need of your help of a Bible and other study materials for our studies in the Lord. Brother, we will be very happy to receive the Bible as soon as possible. Thanks and God bless from your brother, Izikor, from Edo State, Nigeria, Africa.
I believe we've already sent that Bible and the literature to them. Make sure they get, if they haven't, get the Messiah book in there as well. Okay, and then encourage them to become distributors. All right, then what's next?
It's an email from Omaha, Nebraska.
Okay.
A piece of your literature called The Pope's Secrets was left under the windshield wiper of my mother's car recently. This is how I learned of your ministry. My mother is an ex-Catholic and has said the same thing you are saying in your literature a long time ago. The Catholic Church is the whore depicted in Revelation.
This is a Catholic woman that knew that the things that I've been saying about the Catholic cult, that she knew it years ago. And there are literally millions of Catholics that know that have fallen away from the Catholic cult and are saying the very same things. And they knew it all the time, but my literature just seemed to put the to show them 100% to just get out of there, because I'm just telling them what the Bible says. Get out of there. All right? And so this is just really fun. I know many priests. And I met Alberto Rivera. He and I became very good friends. He was next to the Pope in the Vatican and has written many truths about that cult. And so his wife, his son, and there's so many priests and nuns and former Catholics. I would say at least two-thirds of our church are former Catholics, and they have all kinds of stories to tell. Okay, continue on.
She baptized me Catholic as an infant, but the baptism of an infant is not scriptural.
That's right. The Bible says that you must be born again of the Spirit before you can be baptized. A child cannot profess that they're going to give their life up for the Lord and walk in the Spirit, and that they're going to die out. They have to come to the age of accountability. They have to come to the realization that they're sinners, and they have to come to the realization that they must repent of their sins, and that once after they've repented of their sins, and then the next step is to be baptized in water. Or sometimes people are baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit even before they're baptized in water. And the baptism of water is just signifying to your friends and family and the people in your community that you've been saved and that you're taking up the cross and following the Lord. You're going to deny yourself now, and you're not going to lie anymore. You're not going to commit adultery or fornication. You're leaving your old life behind in the watery grave. And then when the minister or the pastor pulls you up out of the water, or the people that are helping the minister or the pastor. That is symbolic of coming out from the dead life that you lived before, and that you're now going to be walking in the Spirit from here on out. Denying yourself on a daily basis and taking up the cross on a daily basis to serve the Lord. And many times when you first get saved, that cross will just seem very light at first, and then the persecution, the Lord lets you know that he's there, and you'll feel all kinds of you'll hear the Lord speak to you, and you'll be speaking to him, and then suddenly after maybe a year or so, or maybe even earlier, you'll start receiving some persecution. The cross will get very heavy that you're carrying, and you have to realize that these things will happen, and the Lord is just testing you, or allowing you to be tested to see what kind of metal you're made out of, if you really believe that eternal life is well worth, more than worth suffering something or going through hard times on this earth to so that you can grow, and so that you can grow spiritually. And this is some of the things that you go through, and a lot of times you're going to be way in the valley, deep down into the valley of the shadow of death, and these are just tests. You have to trust the Lord, and then he pulls you out of it and then puts you on a high mountain top. And there's all kinds of experiences like these in the body of Christ. And when they happen, all of a sudden you realize after several years that you've been put through fire and you're like gold. And you've learned not only from the Word of God, but by experiencing the deliverance power of the Lord, delivering you out of all the different perilous things that have happened to you in your life because you trusted in the Lord. There isn't any profit in falling away from the Lord. It's better to just let the Lord relax and let him deliver you, let him heal you, let him help you, and he will if you keep his word. If you read his word, keep it, and continue carrying the cross and keeping your whole focus on the Lord. So there's many different, you don't have to worry about doing it 2 days in advance. He said for us to just take up the cross daily on this day that you're living now. Just take it one day at a time, and that way you will not faint, but focus on the Lord on a daily basis, and he'll more than carry you through every trial, every tribulation, every character assassination, all trials, tribulations, sickness, disease, infirmities, if you're really in there with him. And if the Lord wants me to die, or if he wants, you know, the attitude should be, well, praise the Lord, I am going to get lucky now. I'm going to be blessed now. I'm going to heaven instead of having to go through any more of these trials and tribulations here on earth. There isn't anything on this earth that's worth anything with the exception of what we do for the Lord and what the Lord does through us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so let's... and so you just have to take up the cross daily. It's a... every time you wake up, you have to remember, not very many things, just take up your cross, deny yourself daily, and walk in the Spirit daily, follow the Lord, which means follow the Scriptures, and learn of him daily, pray what he wants you to do on a daily basis, pray of what he wants you to read on a daily basis, and let him direct your life, and don't care for anything other than letting him use you as a vessel. Alright, this is what the Bible says. Alright, go ahead now.
I am now a born-again Christian who believes in the true word of God. People in my family are nuns and priests, and they look at me like I have two heads when I talk about Jesus, the Illuminati, Satan, and how we are living in the end times.
Well, the Illuminati is an organization that really doesn't exist. It's a fake, one of the other fake organizations that the Vatican opened up to take the heat off of the wickedness that the Vatican has been doing down through the years. That what it is a document blaming, showing a conspiracy of the Jews to control the whole world. But the Vatican is the one that's doing that, and they planted it on a dead Jewish man in a house of prostitution. They grabbed his body and they said, oh, here it is, the Jews are going to try to rule the world. But it isn't them at all. It's the same thing when they opened up the John Birch Society. They were saying it's the commies. All the trouble is coming from the commies, the communists, to the point to where everybody started thinking there was a communist in their attic walking around with boots on up there, or possibly one hiding under your bed. And then the Russians are going to get us, you know, the Russian communists and Red China. These are all just scenes. And the news media, which is the mouth of the dragon or the devil, keeps saying these things to you enough to where you actually begin believing it. And if you just read the Bible, you'd know that it's coming from the Vatican, and they're just ducking their heads, trying to keep you from being aware that it's them. Because don't you think for one second that Satan, that great red dragon that whose headquarters is in Rome, isn't afraid of you knowing the truth? Because the Lord says, when you know the truth will set you free. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God is Jesus, and that the whole Word of God, Jesus, is the truth. And that not the media, not the news media or the printed page or anything like that, it's the Lord that is the truth. And you really have to listen to the news defensively. You have to listen to what people say defensively. You have to tune your ears out on what they're telling you and just focus on the Word of God, because the Word of God will set you free. If you know that, then everything that I hear them saying on television and a lot of the fake ministers, I can tell who they are immediately, because you listen to them for a half hour and some of them bring some pretty good messages. Satan has some people that have studied the Word of God pretty good, just like the Pharisees in the Bible. Jesus called the Pharisees their father was the devil. So not all the people that preach good messages, it's when you ask pointed questions to them, like they asked a couple of these ministers like Billy Graham, and who is that other person who's
Joel Osteen.
Will homosexuals go to hell? And they just say, we don't know. Well, let me tell you, if they don't repent, they certainly are going to hell. Amen? So if Billy doesn't know, and Mr. Osteen doesn't know, well then, call me and I'll show you in the Bible where it says they're going to hell. God burned them up in Sodom and Gomorrah. And all you have to do is read the first chapter of Romans. He said they're worthy of being put to death. Of course, he tells us not to kill anybody, and we never would. But he tells us to preach the gospel to them, because the Word of God is what kills the devil. The devil cannot stand the Word of God. That's one thing he cannot stand. And if you want to fight Satan, the only guns and bullets don't bother him a bit. But the Word of God is stronger than bullets. The Word of God is far more stronger than bullets, bombs, guns, anything, swords. That's why the Lord calls it the double-edged sword. Now, the Lord could have used any weapon he wanted. Don't you think that he could have invented the hydrogen and atomic bomb way back then?
Amen.
He knew about all that before the foundation of the world. But yet he only used the Word of God because it's more powerful than anything, because you can't get into heaven unless you've got the Word of God firmly entrenched into your mind, into your heart, and into your soul. Now, you could have an atomic bomb blast you, and you're not going anywhere but down into hell if you're not repentant. Amen?
Amen.
So those weapons are of no value to you whatsoever. There's only one power that can get you into the kingdom of heaven, and that is your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Word of God. So receive the Word of God and live, because the Word of God is Spirit. God is Spirit. The Word of God is Spirit. The Word of God is God. And the Word of God is life. Jesus said, "The words I speak unto you are Spirit, and they are life, eternal life." All right, continue on.
I gained a Catholic relative's interest when I told him that the pyramid with the eye found on U.S. currency is the symbol of the Illuminati, which is a division of the Roman Catholic Church. I referred him to Alberta Rivera's book, Final Warning, Handbook of the New World Order. We'll see what happens. My great-great-great-uncle on my mother's side is William Jennings Bryan, who we know helped with the establishment of the Federal Reserve Act, thus the Vatican's control of the government and money. As you can see, the deceptive lies of Satan have bonded members of my family for generations. Do you have any ties to churches in the Omaha, Nebraska area? I'd be interested in visiting one of them if you are.
Well, there are people in Omaha that have received my literature and distribute it, and it would be great if you would get together with them and start having a church in your home or a garage or over at a restaurant someplace that will allow you to come in. It will furnish all the pieces of gospel literature, the tapes that we have, and also will even help with you if you'll open a church there. And you can just play my tapes and just go to the streets and distribute literature out there. This literature that I have written has won many souls. And you can be a partaker in our ministry by doing that. So let us know if that's what you want to do. And we'll be glad even at times to send some people down there to help out with the church activities. You may even have a church there already. Or if you would like, you could just start a church. Or you can get a storefront, and we'll start out somewhere, or rent a big house, or lease one, or buy one, and let's go. Let's get it going. Let's get the church in Omaha. Don't depend on there being one there. I've distributed literature there at Creighton University in Omaha, and I send our crews in there all the time distributing literature. We were just there last week. And today's date is what? This is November the 5th. And this is 2000 and what? 2005. So just, you know, when you're listening to this tape, you'll realize when I said last week, you'll know what I mean. Okay, now what's the next letter?
From Accra, Ghana, Africa. It's okay. An email. I received a piece of literature from a friend and really enjoyed it, especially what you said about the wrong interpretation from the Bible writers of what Jesus said on the cross. I thank you for the work you are doing and hope you will live forever to continue this work. I can even say it's through some of your words that have made me a changed and a living soul. But please, Pastor, I will be happy if you can send me a Bible and some of your literature which I can learn, and also send some to my mates in school. Signed, Eric from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's start let's begin with Mass Suicide Part 3. And all these messages, both written and oral, are on our website. And our website, you can get a hold of that by doing what?
AlamoMinistries.com.
Okay, that's real simple, isn't it? Just remember the Alamo. It's pronounced Alamo. AlamoMinistries.com. Amen?
Amen.
All right, and then you can read the literature, the Messiah books, and it doesn't matter, you know, what nationality you are. We have covered most of the different languages on earth with a lot of our literature, the literature that the Lord has given me, and also the Messiah books. Okay, let's go.
Satan caused every single person on this earth to have to die. Satan caused every soul that is in hell and going to hell in the future to be there eternally.
I don't know. And his headquarters are right there in Rome. And now he knows that people like myself have destroyed the Roman Catholic cult. They themselves in their newspapers say that we cut that cult in half with the preaching of the Word of God. So now they've united themselves with the United Methodist, United Presbyterian, United Nazarene, United Baptist, and all these different. When you see the United Pentecostal, when you see all these United churches, and then you also see Satan worshiping groups that have united themselves with them as well, like Hare Krishna and actual Satan worshippers that drink the blood of dogs and the most despicable things that they do. We have pictures of the Pope actually in their seances with them, Pope John Paul II. And if you want to, we can email you copies of the pictures with him with the Hare Krishnas and all sorts of demon worshippers. Okay, we even have the names of the groups. That is the real cult. So they don't care if you come against Roman Catholicism anymore, because they've spread out. They now are the World Council of Churches, the United Council of Churches. So they go by any kind of name just to change, like a chameleon or a chameleon. I don't even know how to pronounce that. Chameleon, where you set the little lizard on a white piece of paper and it turns white, and then you put him on a red one, he turns red. Whenever the devil is caught, or you pick up on him, he's like a snake that's just slithering through the grass, this Antichrist cult. And all we're trying to do, and we're doing it, not just trying, we're doing it, we're winning souls out of there. And who knows, you might be next to be won to the Lord. I pray that you are. Okay, keep going.
And Satan has caused all the trouble that has ever been caused in the world.
That's what the Bible says. Okay, you should read if there's a footnote there. There should be one. Okay, then what?
God offers absolutely no mercy to the belligerent and defiant, unrepentant wickedness shown by the men, women, and children who follow this evil creature or obey his church state. The devil's debut. The devil incarnate and his church state are telling the world they have the true message of love, peace, and safety. It is now revealed how utterly hateful their profane message of fantasy is. It is nothing more than a cleverly devised fable and pure fiction. This fable, when believed, sends its believers to hell forevermore. These satanic beings are the very ones who howl that the true prophets of God preach hate. The true message of love is God's message of salvation through Christ. God demands that you renounce every other religion or savior other than Christ, that you reject Satan and sin, and that you fear God and keep his Ten Commandments.
Oh, there's so many more than ten, though. These are the Ten Commandments, which is the moral law. But there are many other laws, like the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And the Lord has many commandments, so many, that but you're able to more than keep them. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And one of the commandments is that you must die before you can resurrect. Your old life must be completely over with. And you must take up the cross and follow the Lord. Now, there's some preachers that say you can still be yourself and serve the Lord. The Lord says he doesn't want any of ourself to be involved with him. You can't be yourself. This is Joyce Myers. You cannot be yourself and still serve the Lord. You must become a heap of burnt ashes, so to speak, completely yielded unto the Lord, and let the Spirit of God enter into you and let him control your life. You must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. You must control yourself to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that means you cannot be yourself, your old self. You must be a member of Christ's body and go where he goes and do what he does. And it really is him in you doing it. And you're just yoked with him in that endeavor. Then what?
If you don't, there will be his judgments, his wrath, and hell. Los Angeles, the vibrating tuning fork. Because of the many thousands of aftershocks after the January 17, 1994 earthquake in Los Angeles, the earth opened up and a virus called Valley Fever came out of the ground, making hundreds of people sick. This brought to my mind one of the plagues that God will send soon to this world. It may seem far-fetched and unbelievable, like clouds and rain did to the suicidal people of Noah's age, but of course clouds and rain are common now. People can be assured that every detail of these prophecies will come to pass. God has allowed us in his great mercy to see a series of his prophecies be fulfilled before the day of the end of his mercy. I know that the Lord is inspiring me to parallel myself with Noah, to get my mind set for the events that soon shall come to pass. God's word is true. His promises of the earth's utter end by his destructive plagues are as sure as the message of the plague that he gave to Noah. The earth opening up in the San Fernando Valley in Los Angeles reminds me of the scripture in the Bible that tells of the bottomless pit opening in the earth and releasing locust-like creatures that torment unrepentant sinners of this world for 5 months with hurtful stings similar to those of a scorpion striking a person. The people of this world experiencing this plague will beg for death, but it will not be possible for them to die. Those people still alive after God's world quake will have only experienced a small taste of what it will be like for them in hell's eternal fire. More than ever, now is the time to prepare your soul for eternity. There are no other options than heaven or hell, God or Satan. Receiving eternal life is the only protection from God's plagues, which includes the final one, eternal hell. An angel in heaven with a loud voice cried a simple and short but most important message to John. That message is, quote, "Fear God and give glory to him," unquote, meaning, quote, "Fear God and keep his Ten Commandments."
Yeah, well, all the other commandments as well. That's just the moral law. Then there's the law of keeping our body mortified and taking up the cross and following the Lord and not even looking at a woman in adultery with adulterous eyes. And that's talking about mankind not looking at women, looking at men as well with adultery on your mind if they're married to someone else. If you're married and that you're looking at other men, that's what the Lord hates with a woman. If you're married, you're to just keep yourself to your husband and not to be lusting after other men. That, in a woman, is adultery. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and then what?
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This means separate yourself from evil, unregenerated, blasphemous, carnal-minded people and keep yourself holy, because God is holy, and without holiness no man shall see God. Holiness is acquired by obeying God. By consuming God's word on a daily basis, we are consuming the living bread from heaven, the body and blood of Christ Jesus himself. By this habit, this practice, this exercise on a daily basis, the power of God through faith in Christ is given to us, that we might withstand the wiles of Satan. God's powerful nature becomes ours through Christ Jesus, because by the Holy Spirit incorporated within his word, he is able to dwell, to live, and to work miraculously and wonderfully within us. We become the temple of God, where God literally, actually lives. Even after receiving Christ, you and I will, like Noah, be shocked and horrified when God's judgmental plagues occur. The purpose of this literature is that you prepare your soul to meet God and to ready yourself to be able to cope as Noah did with the impact of God's plagues here at the end of the world, seeing mass suicide will be traumatic. Jesus tells more of how the world will end. He foretold of the one-world government and church symbolized by a seven-headed, ten-horned beast in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. This is symbolic of the seven major false and blasphemous religions of the world, now consolidated into a one-world, false, blasphemous government religion under the resurrected evil Roman Empire. The ten horns of this same beast is that very resurrected Roman Empire, now combined into a one-world government, which is described also in the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 41 through 42, these are the feet and the ten toes symbolic of that government divided into ten divisions made of potter's clay and iron, symbolizing earthly power. God's kingdom is supernatural and has all power. It shall never be destroyed, but shall stand forever, breaking every worldly kingdom into pieces. The second beast ascends from the earth, symbolized by a lamb-like beast with two horns. The two horns symbolize church and state. He speaks like a dragon. This beast symbolizes the devil incarnate, and because of him being Satan, he is stronger, the ultimate of evil. With his satanic cunning, he masterfully consolidates the seven blasphemous religions, all other minor cults, and ten horns into a one-world church state, a bright and shining new world order, giving him enough clout and hype to collect the other nations of the world. When his followers multiply enough, he, the devil incarnate, will say he is God. At this moment, he calls himself God's vicar, or sometimes he says he's Jesus. To accumulate followers, he is using sanctions, imprisonment, death, and every other ruthless method ever known. This, on a global scale, was unheard of throughout the entire history of the world until now. Fortunately, this evil monarchy and the devil its leader, who knows that his time is short, won't be around much longer. God has other plans, for Jesus, quote, will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth, unquote. Again, Satan and his agents know that God is wrapping it up quickly down here. That's why Satan and his followers are operating so quickly, so ruthlessly, and so much in the open. No time to be cool and cunning anymore. When God's judgmental plagues start killing millions of satanic one-world government workers and worshipers, Satan's followers, those who have not the seal of God, and when God's earthquakes, hail, meteorites, and many other plagues are tearing the world to pieces, the second beast, Satan in the flesh, will tell everyone on earth that he, God, will stop all the plagues if the world will worship him and unite with his one-world government church state. Those who won't will be killed because the devil will say, quote, they don't want the plagues to stop, unquote. Just ask the pontiff, John Paul II, if all this isn't true.
Of course, John Paul II, after being paraded around the streets with his head looking at his shoes, and also demanding to not be taken to a hospice, he's gone now. He's gone. Okay, so we have another one that's just as wicked, even more wicked. They're birds of a feather, the same thing. Then what?
I know he believes these facts to be true because he has already admitted his knowledge of God's soon forthcoming plagues in the Malachi Martin book entitled The Keys of This Blood on pages 656 and 657.
Yeah, we're not recommending this book because it's not, it is one of the Catholics exalting the Pope, and he's not to be exalted. He knows better. The Pope knows better than that. He's met the real Jesus. He's met the real God. What a surprise for somebody that's lived in such pomp and such delusion. You go ahead.
John Paul II says, quote, his is an unpleasant message and, for the moment, a thankless job, unquote. The Pope continues saying that, quote, he has to warn his contemporaries of his conviction that human catastrophe on a worldwide scale, according to his information, is impending. He has to admit that he, like everybody else, is in the dark as to when it will occur, although he does know some of the horrific details of that worldwide catastrophe, unquote. John Paul II talks out of both corners of his mouth. One minute he's blasphemously instructing the world that they are not to believe the Bible literally, and the next minute he states that the prophecies of God's judgmental wrath are literally about to take place. The one-world church state uses the literalness of the Bible only when it serves the devil's purpose. Again, this is important to remember. They will lie to you by saying if everyone worships the incarnate devil and his coalition, God will stop his judgmental wrath. There is nothing that could be farther from the truth.
Do you see any of that wrath issued out less than before? Everyone's saying this catastrophe has never hit the United States. There's never been one hit the United States worse than this. There's never been one that has hit Indonesia worse than this. There's never been one that has hit Italy just recently worse than this. All over the globe, catastrophes are happening worse. In Turkey and Pakistan, amen? Well, they said that's the worst earthquake they've ever known. And that's nothing in comparison to what's coming. So, you know, you've got a lot to see yet and a lot to experience. You may very well be next. And then what? If you don't repent. Go ahead now.
The Bible is clear as to what will happen to you or anyone else who would worship the devil, join his cult church state, or take his mark. The result is an eternity in hell with Satan and his entire monarchy. The people of today who will be spared will believe the Apostle John and Daniel's message and will yield to God's commands. They shall receive God's mercy. Those that do not believe the message of the forthcoming plagues that are soon to utterly destroy this world and yield not to God's commands are as suicidal as the world's inhabitants in the days of Noah, who did not believe Noah's message of the flood and did not yield to God's commands. Thus, the mass suicide of the world. Jesus told John, quote, "These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done," unquote. Jesus said, quote, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book," unquote. At this very time, the cup of the wine of the fierceness of God's wrath is spilling over and will soon be boiling over. The warning signals of his impending final judgments are being noticed everywhere throughout the thinking world. Salvation for a short time is still available, but remember, time is running out. King David said of God, quote, "But there is forgiveness with thee, God, to repentant sinners, that thou mayest be feared," unquote. And quote, "Let Israel, those who repent and serve God, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption," unquote. And he, God, quote, "shall redeem Israel, all believers that serve him in holiness from all his iniquities," unquote. It is the ultimate desire of the Heavenly Father and his Son, Christ Jesus, that the entire world repent of all sin, immediately refraining from any further offense and defiance against God's government of just law and order. Non-adherence to God's law and order is sin. God's wish is that the world accept his mercy and forgiveness for all previous sins committed by them, that he may show his plenteous mercy through their faith in the redemptive, soul-cleansing blood shed on the cross at Calvary for them by the Lamb of God. God will forgive every sin of every truly sincere person, no matter how large the sin, how many sins there are, or who you are. If you will simply, from this day forward, refrain from both sinning against your own soul and from angering God further by breaking his commandments, you will be spared. The breaking of God's commandments is sin. The wages of sin is eternal hell. Soon God's offer of mercy through Christ Jesus will be closed. If you're going to be born of God to Christ, you mustn't wait any longer. quote, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Unquote. Think for a second. What is there in this doomed world that is worth your burning in hell for an eternity? What is there in this finished world that is worth more than keeping God's commandments and spending an eternity in heaven's paradise with Him, where there is everlasting joy, peace, and happiness, and a complete escape from hell? The world's career is over, as well as the careers of everyone in the world.
Right, the world has no future. People should never even plan a future for themselves now. And when you get into the church, the body of Christ, you should not plan a future for yourself. You should just let the Lord lead, guide, and direct you as to what He wants you to do. I never desired any particular office in the body of Christ when I got saved. I was so happy to know that the Lord was there and that I was saved. And that was good enough for me, just as long as I actually didn't want any responsibility except just to witness to people and tell them about the Lord. I never, ever thought I'd be anything as a church leader or a leader of the salvation here in this world, which most people call religion. It is not religion, it's salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, but religion is of the devil. Okay, and just keep going.
Everything you might desire in this world will soon be gone forever. It's just a waste of time and effort to work for anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ or for a goal other than heaven. So if you wish to make heaven your goal, then begin now without any further delay and say this prayer to Him.
Okay, and the prayer is, "My Lord, if you are driving in a car and you'd like to escape the wrath which is to come, you really are sincere, you want to get saved, and you want to be a new creature, and you say, 'Well, I just don't want to give up what I've got now.' Well, the Lord told a very rich man, you know, that if he wants to be saved, give his money, the things that he has, away and go and worship him. Give it to the poor and come and follow him." Following the Lord is the same as worshiping him. If you want to worship the Lord, it isn't just raising your hands and saying, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, amen." That's part of it. But to worship the Lord is to follow him. That's what worshiping the Antichrist government is. It's just to do everything they say. That's like worshiping Satan. And like it's all right to abort children. And it's all right to lie. This is the Supreme Court. I want to remind you that it said it's okay to lie. And this was that Hustler magazine case where it was all right for Larry Flint to say that Jerry Falwell's he had sex with Jerry Falwell's grandmother in an outhouse. And that's all right because, he admitted it was lying, but it was something to sell his magazines. And they also say all kinds of things about the people that are of the Lord. But it's all right according to the Supreme Court. So right there they've given everybody a license to lie about us and to character assassinate us. And the reason that they do that is because they don't want you to believe our message. And if they can make a joke out of you, well, that's just exactly what they want to do. Okay, so you want to be saved. If you're in a car, pull over to the side of the road if you can. Or if you're in your room, your home, wherever. Or in a jail cell, or a prison cell, or a reform school. Or in the Navy, the Marines, whatever. Just ask the Lord to come into your heart. Say, here's the prayer. Now just repeat it after me. My Lord and my God, say it. Have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. Say it. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Say it. And I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood say it, for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. Say it. And I believe that God raised him from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Say it. I open up the door of my heart, Lord Jesus. Say it. And I invite you into my heart. Say it. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. Say it. On the cross at Calvary. Say it. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. Say it. I know because your word, which is God, your word, which is you, says so. Your word is true. Your promises are true. Say it. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me. Say it. And therefore, I know that I'm saved. Say it. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, from the bottom of my heart for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord. Raise your hands up now and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now you're going to want to seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've been saved. Inwardly, you have the Spirit. And now to be in the ministry, to be able to witness to people, or to have the Lord anoint you when you're witnessing to people, or whenever you're reading the Bible, to anoint it and make it alive in you and through you to others and make it alive in them. Just thank and praise the Lord whenever you are alone or wherever the Lord pours His Spirit on you. Just start thanking and praising the Lord and keep it up. Because when you, the Lord wants you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit millions of times more than you want to receive it, and your tongue will seem like it's getting a little bit thick, and you'll start stuttering, stammering, and then the Spirit will come down upon you, and you'll speak in another language, in the language of angels. And when that happens, you'll feel a huge surge of the Holy Spirit coming into you, and you'll have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But people don't realize that every day we have to get a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that is because we never know where the Lord is going to lead us. And if we're anointed with the Holy Spirit, we'll be able to pick up from Him what He wants us to do, what He wants us to say, where He wants us to go. If He wants us to say, if He wants us to write something, or whatever. He said that when He went away, when He ascended into the kingdom of God, in front of over 500 witnesses in a cloud, He stated that He would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to us, and that He would teach us all the things we need to know on a daily basis. Of course, He wants us to thoroughly learn the Word of God so that we know that the Spirit that's speaking to us is the Lord. The Lord does never contradict His Word. In other words, He doesn't say, thou shalt not kill, and then tell a woman to kill her children. This is the spirit of Satan that tells anyone to do something like that. God would never command us not to kill them and say, kill now, kill your own children. Anyone that receives the spirit of Satan is receiving the spirit of insanity. I see them cutting the brains open of people that do such things as that, or that go on a wild spree and start shooting people in schools. And then they, or in the neighborhoods, and then they kill themselves. I see them taking a buzz saw and sawing the person's scalp open and taking the brain out, and they're going to take it to some absent-minded professor to look at that brain through a magnifying glass. But it isn't the brain. It's a spiritual thing. It's not the brain at all. Satan is the spirit. just like the Lord God Almighty is the Spirit. And we're fighting a spiritual warfare. That's why we can't fight satanic things with guns, bullets, and bombs, tanks, aircraft, and all these things. All you're going to do is kill a bunch of innocent people in order to try to find one person. But the thing that we do is we just preach the gospel to them. And so they're killing people, and they're not going to find it out. If they would only listen to the word of God, they know that these people are possessions of Satan. He owns them. And because of the fact that they keep looking at worldly things all day long, they look at worldly television, they have worldly thoughts that come into their mind. It's like a big movie screen, and while the Lord is trying to talk to them, they see this screen in front of them that keeps directing their mind to some distraction, maybe some pornographic scene that they've seen on television, and they'll be looking at that instead of listening to what the word of the Lord says. Or else the devil will put on the screen in front of them a horrible motion picture that they've seen with the utter violence in it. Or they'll think of some sort of trashy thing that Satan keeps bringing to their mind. So that's why the Bible states that we have to be careful about what we see and what we hear. Because what we see and what we hear, people are watching these murders and people killing on the screen. And so that's all that's in their brain. And so pretty soon, when they've watched sinfulness that much, then sin doesn't seem as bad to them because you get accustomed to it. And that's why we must pump our brains, our hearts and souls full of the Word of God, so that the Word of God, the commandments, all the commandments, not just the moral law, which is major, but all the law of walking in the Spirit, because there's no condemnation to those that walk after the Spirit. Yeah, if we walk after the flesh, there is condemnation. If you pour all sorts of evil into your brain from television and from just the things that are going on in the world, worldly, fleshly things, then you are in the flesh and you're going to act like flesh. But the Lord states that if we want to be spiritual, we have to turn away. We have to turn away from the flesh and take on the Spirit. Well, I see that our time is up now. And so you've now heard the piece of literature that the Lord has given me entitled Mass Suicide. You can have copies of this literature or tapes if you'd like by just emailing us at
alamoministries.com.
Okay, and I'm going to pray about which piece of literature the Lord wants me to have read tomorrow. And until then, this is Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.